Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The big story was the big game last night, the standalone game on Sunday. And that was the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. And I tell you what, I'm not a huge believer in Houston, as big as a fan of Deshaun Watson and his receivers as I am. But last night, they looked great. But the bigger story was how bad the New England Patriots looked. And Tom Brady. And those who listen to this show, Ephraim, know that I'm a Tom Brady fan.
Okay.
I've defended him. But here's my conclusion from last night. And I've actually felt this way all year. He now is no longer good enough to carry mediocre talent, which he's done his whole career. Other than Gronk and other than Randy Moss, I mean, you look at the receivers he's thrown the ball to, dating back to the first run of Super Bowls in the early 2000s, and it's unbelievable that he's won with these guys, but he can no longer do that. And New England is either going to have to bring in top-notch talent at the receive, you know, in the skill positions, or he's going to have to go because he can't carry him anymore.
You're right in your assessment. And the thing that I've noticed, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the year when people were anointing them, they're going back to the Super Bowl. They were, you know, 10-0 at one point or whatever it was. I mean, they were just steamrolling teams. And the thing that really stuck out to me was they weren't playing anyone.
Right.
Outside of the first game of the season when they played the Steelers, they didn't play anybody, and this is before we knew the Steelers were a dumpster fire.
Right.
So, second game, Dolphins, Jets, they struggled at the Bills, Redskins, Giants, Jets, Browns. They finally got to a formidable opponent in the Ravens, right? So, let's rewind and go back to that Buffalo game. 16-10 they beat them.
Yep.
Between the two quarterbacks, I think Matt Barkley and Josh Allen, they threw four picks in that game. They couldn't throw the ball to you to anybody. And New England struggled mightily. And I was thinking, I was like, wow, okay. Well, this is the first time they've played a top-tier defense in the league, and they're struggling. They can't score offensively. What is going on? Then they get the Giants, everything is righted. Then they get the Jets, they destroy the Jets. And then the Browns, I was like, okay, this will be a test.
Right.
To see, going up against legitimate talent, what they can do. And the Browns being the Browns.
Right. Being the Browns.
Literally shot later. Themselves in the face from the opening snap of the game. And then they got exposed against the Baltimore Ravens. Bill Belichick has been synonymous with figuring out puzzles, right? Baltimore is a puzzle.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson is a puzzle. So what? This is what Bill Belichick does, and Tom Brady does the rest. It didn't happen because they're under talent. That defense is number one in the league, or was number one in the league at the time.
Bad competition.
Right? They were number one in the league at the time, and they got exposed. They didn't know what was going on.
No.
And asking Tom Brady to have a shootout with that much offensive firepower with that roster, and it's not even the receivers, okay? He doesn't have any receivers.
No, he has no receivers.
But he doesn't have a tight end, and that is the difference. Say what you want about all the receivers that has come and gone outside of Randy Moss. Gronkowski are an elite-level tight end. Saves Tom Brady year in and year out. They don't have that. Even when Gronk was hurt last year, they were like, oh, wait till he gets back, wait till he gets back. And bam, he came back. He was the difference maker.
Right.
Edelman is going to be Edelman. But when you don't
when they double Edelman,
he's the guy who works at the tax firm.
Right.
Right? He's the CPA.
Well, look, all that said, and I have to say this. I picked Kansas City from the get-go to represent the AFC. Obviously, Baltimore looks like the best team right now, but, you know, Kansas City got a shot. I would pick Baltimore and Kansas City before New England, and I don't know that I'd pick Houston before them on a, you know, in Foxborough on a neutral field, but I all that said, Ephraim, I cannot. My only reason may be history. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, but I cannot totally write them off. Because they are, at times, they looked this bad last year. At times, Brady looked this bad in 2014.
But you know what the difference is? They were waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for Gronkowski to get back.
They did win the Super Bowl without Gronk. Remember that.
I'm telling you. I'm talking about now. Like last year, do they win that game without him?
No. He was big.
Right?
I mean,
he made the catch that propelled them to that victory. It's a sense of comfort. Like when I've played 13 years, and when you're missing something that you rely on, like if one of our linemen went down, right? We knew, okay, well, things are going to shift a little bit. Play calling is going to be different. We got to make up for the hole that we have there.
That's another problem they've had, the offensive line.
In and out, guys, in and out, right? The Texans didn't really even have a superior rush last night. Tom Brady had 7 seconds, eight seconds,
plenty of time,
sometimes to throw the ball. Guess what? If you give any quarterback in this league 8 seconds to throw the ball, they'll find somebody to throw the ball to. If I gave you 8 seconds to throw the ball, you can find somebody to throw the ball. Nobody was open.
That leads to the next point. This is the million-dollar question or statement. I'm going to make a statement and you can respond. Look, I don't like him. I'm just going to be honest. And I don't like him.
I know where you're going.
I don't like his act, but he is a tremendous talent. And the fact of the matter is, in America, you are innocent until proven guilty. If I'm the New England Patriots, I would begin exploring. Considering that the coaching staff, from the reports, Ephraim, the coaching staff and the players want Antonio Brown.
Of course they do.
Tom Brady wants Antonio Brown. I would look at bringing him back. Here's what I'd do. I'd meet with him. I would look, you have to apologize for this text, because that bothers me. I understand she's accused you of sexual assault. You've denied it. You're innocent until proven guilty. The text, though, we know you sent. It looked threat. You know, he can try to couch it like it wasn't really threatening, but she was threatened, and we can see why. Come out and publicly apologize for that. Admit you were wrong for it. You were emotional. However you got to couch it. But do that, you get no special treatment, because I can't destroy our culture for you.
Mm-hmm.
You get no special treatment. If you screw up one time, you're gone. Other than that, welcome back, Antonio. Am I nuts?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why.
So you wouldn't bring him back?
I'll tell you why. How long you been married?
24 years.
You might not even remember back when you was dating.
We've been dating for 31 years.
You 70s you dating. So think about it like.
I shocked you. You thought I was going to say about 70.
Yeah, because you only look at 17 years old.
I am a young looking cat.
Good. What are we, 60? Good Lord.
No,
breaking news, Chris Bouchard is 62 years old.
I'm not as old as Rob Parker. Not close.
But I tell you this. Back when you were dating, if you can remember that far back, remember it was a beautiful girl. I'm talking about drop dead gorgeous, everything you're looking for.
Right.
Outside of your wife.
Right.
And she was just a little bit crazy. Right? Just a little bit crazy. Like, pop up at the house, might be standing at the kitchen window watching you do dishes. Right? Maybe
I know what you're talking about.
Get in the car and she's sitting in the back seat and you're like, all right, hey, baby, what's going on? Right? But you put up with that because, man, she looked good.
Right.
Boy, I'm talking, when you walking out, everybody looking at you, everybody like, man, Chris doing it. How he do that? Right? You get all of that goodness. And then you land in bed one night and you're looking up at the ceiling and you're like, man, I don't want to go to sleep because she might kill me. So you have that trepidation, right? Antonio Brown is this hot girl. He got all the talent in the world. He is a game changer. When he steps out on that field with you hand in hand, you know he's going to make heads turn. He's going to produce. He's going to make your life easier. He's going to get you into places you couldn't get in by yourself. You go to the club by yourself, you got to stand in the line. Right. You go to the club with that girl, y'all come right on in here.
All right.
Right?
What if that place is a Super Bowl? That's
what I'm talking about, right?
So but you, at what, I can't listen, trust wait you a for minute. That long. You,
no.
It's too long.
And you know why? Because he's a 6th-round draft pick. I was a 7th-round draft pick. The one thing I know about 6th- and 7th-round draft picks, you don't have an ego. You can't make it in this league, in the NFL, with an ego as a 6th- and a 7th-round draft pick.
Okay.
All right? So what has happened in the course of his 9 years in the NFL, he was allowed to be disruptive, disrespectful. These aren't the first incidents we've heard from Antonio Brown.
No.
Right? This is not like, oh, my God, this behavior is uncharacteristic. Right? These are things that have gone unchecked for 9 years. Now he has the biggest ego on the planet from a 6th-round draft pick. You know how hard that is to do? And if you don't check that type of behavior, a la make him sit and tweet about being back in the league and not allow him to come back in the league and continue, see, the league needs me. You already know that's his mentality. If a team picks up a phone,
they do need him.
Of course they do. But do you reward that behavior? Do you reward the girl standing over your bed with a knife saying, "Oh, I'm just cutting apples"?
I'm with you.
Come on now.
I am with you.
When is it bigger? When is it bigger than the Super Bowl?
All of that. So do they have any chance? Other than just nostalgia, other than just they're the Patriots, other than just we saw this last year.
Right.
They had a 5-week stretch where they struggled, or the last two of the last three games. Other than that, we got no reason to believe.
Absolutely not.
Without Antonio Brown.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Would it be so? Would it, if they won the Super Bowl with AB, would it be worth it?
For humanity, no. For them, yes.
I wouldn't sign him longer than these 7 weeks.
It doesn't matter.
You give him next year.
He got to learn a lesson, right? If your kid is acting up, you can't continue to reward him. If your daughter's brought home all F's,
oh no, they
right? And you guys had and you, exactly because you've nipped that in the bud. But if they brought home all F's and you guys had planned a family trip to Disney World. You still going on the trip?
They got some crazy dudes in the league.
You still going on the trip?
No.
Okay, then.
I'm going, not them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ephraim, I was on First Things First last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about what AFC team that was out of the playoffs currently did you have the most faith in or thought had the best chance to make the playoffs? And I said the Browns. Because, Tennessee, which is playing great with Ryan Tannehill, their schedule's tough.
Yes.
So I was, okay, they might struggle. Indianapolis schedule's kind of tough, too. Browns really had, the Steelers are actually playing pretty decent football. But I really thought it was they could win out outside of maybe that Ravens game. And they beat the Ravens, so maybe they pull an upset. But they go out Sunday and jump to a 10-0 lead and then end up losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who look like they could end up making the playoffs. But the big story coming out of that, Ephraim, and this is Browns. This is Browns-like. Coach Freddie Kitchens wears a T-shirt Friday night to a movie that says Pittsburgh started it. Here's Freddie Kitchens, head coach for the Cleveland Browns.
The T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I'd put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
All right. Okay, well, you can't, first of all, you can't say that in the same sentence. You can't say a T-shirt didn't allow us to give up 40-yard passes. We were ready to play. That doesn't go, right? Am I wrong? Is that a contradiction?
You're not giving up the 40-yard
If you're ready
passes.
To play, you're not giving up 40-yard passes, whether you T-shirt or no shirt.
Especially not to Duck Devlin.
Who? Who?
Right? It's not like you were going against Pat Mahomes.
Listen to this, all right? If I told you right now, Christopher Bouchard, if I said, you get to play a team that's down to their third quarterback, doesn't have their star receiver, their star running back, and a host of other starters, would you like to coach against that team?
Love to. Love to.
Oh, and by the way, you have two of the best, I don't know, eight receivers in the league. You have two running backs that can rush for 1,000 yards at the drop of a hat. You have a bevy of defensive players, first-round draft picks, big money guys. Would you like to coach that team?
Love to.
Guess what else I don't want my head coach doing when you're in the middle of trying to make the playoffs for the first time in ever? Going to the movies.
Forget the T-shirt, right?
So everybody hung up on the T-shirt. The thing that stuck out to me was, why are you at the movies?
What was that, Friday night?
Friday night.
Okay, so really? Okay, this is good. He can't go.
Why are you at the movies, man?
I'm playing devil's advocate. I got to get my, look, all week long, I've been in the office. I've been watching film all week long. I've broken down.
Yes.
The coaches know what they got to do. I've done my job. Tomorrow we're going to get back at it. I need 3 hours where my mind can just be free and I can go watch Queen and Slim and let it go. Is that what he went to see? I don't know what he went to see. But,
I'm surprised.
But, you know, whatever.
I think he went to Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers? Oh, that's even... How you going to be mad at somebody for seeing Mr. Rogers?
I'm telling you is I've been around a lot of head coaches, right? Coaches who are serious about this thing. Coaches who... don't sleep at home. I'm not saying this is right, but I'm saying you come in and they crawling from under the table off the cot, right? Or you go in their office and they got pillows and blankets on the couch, right? There's responsibilities. If they're 10-1, you can go see all the movies you want. If they're above 500, partake a movie. You're doing something right. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns here. All right? I'm not talking about the Patriots. I'm not talking about the Texans or Baltimore. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. Do you think Mike Tomlin was at the movies on Friday? What do you think? When's the last time you think Belichick went to see a movie?
Ever seen a movie.
There's a reason why. I think Andy Reid just... at the concession stand.
Well, hold on.
Getting some popcorn.
Tony Dungy, I bet he went to see movies.
Tony Dungy was different.
He would go home at 6 o'clock every night.
And you know what? He had Peyton Manning. Huh. Hello.
All right. You got Baker Mayfield.
Right. You got Baker Mayfield and a bunch of undisciplined players because it starts with you. So while you're at the movies with Mr. Rogers and popcorn and Juju Bees and bum bums, right? Your team
with his daughters, I assume.
Right?
Frozen
2. I bet he was watching Frozen 2.
This is hard for me because I see where you're coming at from a football standpoint.
Come on, man.
But it looks like did he go with his daughters?
We don't know.
He went to the movie. They wanted him to wear the shirt. I think he went with his daughters. He went to see freaking Mr. Rogers. I mean, I'm having a hard time getting mad at him, although I don't like the shirt.
I'm telling you this, okay? There are bigger things you need to worry about, right? The movies are...
2 hours?
Look, as a head coach of a team, they'll send you the movies, right? They'll send you whatever movie. All you have to do is have someone reach out. They'll send whatever movie you want to watch, they'll send it to your house, right? So the narrative is this, and I'm not saying, look, man, you got to be a hermit.
You said it. You are. Don't back up with it now.
It's the program. right? It's the program. It's the scrutiny. It's what you need to do to change the face of the program. Going to the movies in that shirt or going to the movies with no shirt on isn't what you need to do.
I feel you. This just had Browns written all over it.
Of course.
When I look at this team, the fact that you have a receiver who would even consider wearing a watch. All right,
so
that's
stupid.
Or wearing different cleats game and that don't match the uniform and all that. The fact that all the issues that they have do stem from the head coach and the lack of discipline he has instilled. He has not set the culture. The culture is willy-nilly, do what you like, have fun, we're free, we're loosey-goosey, and it shows on Sundays.
Yes,
and
it does.
And him wearing this shirt. Now, a lot of people might say, what's the big deal? The big deal is that as a head coach, you cannot wear a shirt like that because it comes off as you're belittling, you're making light of what was really a serious matter.
A very serious matter.
You're making light of it. And to be honest, I saw the owner. She had, 95 on her hat, in supporting mm-hmm. Myles Garrett. I get you're behind him, but you don't need to do that publicly.
Look, man.
We know you support him to whatever degree is necessary. We don't need you wearing his number on the hat so it looks like you think he was done wrong. He wasn't done wrong. He hit somebody in the head with a helmet. And all of us are lucky it wasn't worse.
Yeah, a little to the left, we got a situation.
Right.
Right? And look, I've been saying this since the Browns have been self-destructing and imploding this whole season. I've been to five different teams, five different organizations. All right? I've played 13 years in this league. I know when and where the discipline starts and stops on a team. The head coach sets the tone, not the owners, not the position coaches, not the training staff, not your team captains. The head coach sets the tone. If it's a reason they're leading the league in penalties.
Right, right.
Right? If the head coach doesn't take – I've had coaches, everyone who got penalties, and I'm talking about not – holding or things that happen within the constraints of the game. We're having
like an unnecessary roughness.
You get one of those,
whatever, yeah.
There's retribution. Oh, that you Monday when we, oh, you running. You running. There's fine systems set up in individual players' rooms where if you do something like that, you're going to be fined money, right? Because everyone has to be held accountable. And if it doesn't start at the head coach, if your head coach is goofy,
right,
and
that's
wearing
what he is.
And wearing shirts and being in light, like just listen to his press conferences all year, right? Accountability thing going to happen? It starts with him. And guess what? Players loved him when he was a position coach. They loved him. He great energy. As a head coach, you're the CEO of the team.
Yep. Yep.
You have to be buttoned up. Everyone is looking up to you. They can't look parallel. I don't want my head coach to be my homeboy.
Right, right.
Right?
And that's what a lot of, to your point, and I've seen it in basketball, players tend to love the assistant coaches.
Without a doubt.
You know, because they're not the ones bringing down the hammer. They're working with you on your skills and, this and that. And that's where the danger of the interim coach can come in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, say you had a hard-nosed head coach, he gets fired, you bring in the interim, who everybody loves, the assistant mm-hmm. coach, and you do great for those 20 games, or if it's football, four games or whatever, last year, half a season, well, even though Kitchens wasn't the head coach. It looks good. But then when it really comes down to setting the culture, they just liked him because it was such a change.
Yeah.
And the season's probably over anyway, mm-hmm. right? And then you hire that guy, and now you really see what happens when, as you said, the coach is your homeboy.
Can't do it, man.
No.
Can't do it.
And so, it's a bad culture. And look, I think this was the final straw for Freddie Kitchens. I think he'll be out of there unless they somehow make the playoffs, which I can't see happening now, and they go on a deep playoff run. But I think he's gone. And that's why I don't know where you're at on this, and we don't have time to get into it now. I would not trade an OBJ or anything. Like, I wouldn't do that until I get a coach in who I know can put these parts together.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Ephraim Salam, we were talking before the show, and I threw out what I thought was just a normal, common sense take that something's wrong with Carson Wentz. And Rob G mentioned Nick Foles, and he's struggling too. And I said, look, Nick Foles just got benched in
Jacksonville.
And I said, there's got to be somewhere this guy can go and play. And you said, there is. You said Philadelphia. And I said, well, that's the only place in the league he can play? And you said, yeah. So you really are going to tell me, if you were running the Philadelphia Eagles, you would bring back Nick Foles.
Okay, so depending on what Jacksonville's getting ready to do with him, because they're willing to trade him. Then I would say yes, because number one, Carson Wentz is, I don't want to say
struggling.
He is struggling. And he was one of those quarterbacks that came into the league on fire. He had good receivers. Darren Sproles at running back had a bunch of weapons, right? Second year he came in, he was a leading candidate for the MVP. Had all these weapons
11-2.
Right? Gets hurt. Comes back last year. Not fully there.
Right. 5-6 is a starter.
5-6 is a starter.
Then Foles takes him to the playoffs.
Gets hurt again. And now we're seeing him with no weapons. So you don't have Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Jackson. You don't have a running game. You don't have any outside receivers. He finally got Alshon Jeffries back. And Alshon had a tremendous, tremendous day, even though they lost.
And at the start of the season, people were saying they had more weapons than maybe anybody.
Right. And they don't have any now.
Right.
And so he's been exposed because he's asked to do too much. It's hard to – if you haven't been scorched through the flames, right, and had to build up this callus as a quarterback with empty cupboards, right, it's hard to go from having everything to having nothing and keeping that same level of competitive edge.
So
and
you don't put this all on Nick.
I don't put it all on him. Now he has to play better. He has to play better. And in terms of the Nick Foles angle of it all, we know he's a beloved figure in that locker room. What did we hear this offseason about a lot of those Philly guys were really feeling Nick Foles in the locker room?
They built a shrine to him.
And a lot of those same players not quite sold on Carson Wentz.
Right.
So much so, Carson had to come out and apologize to the locker room and to certain guys because he wasn't being the type of leader or face of the franchise that they needed at the time.
Right.
But we know that everyone in that locker room and management were all in on Nick Foles. For whatever reason, that system works for him. It didn't matter who you had. It didn't matter. Nick Foles was coming to play, and he was going to play well in that system. It's a place where he's comfortable, right? We've seen him starters other places. It doesn't work out.
Right.
In Jacksonville, it's not working out. So if I'm Philadelphia, seeing the injury history of Carson Wentz and his ups and downs, I'm not saying bring back Foles and replace Carson Wentz, but to have him there – as a security blanket that can get you to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl is a luxury that you should take.
But
am I lying?
Well,
just tell me I'm lying.
How do you bring back Nick Foles?
You brought him back before?
Yeah, but it's going to – but Carson Wentz, if you bring back Nick Foles even to be the backup, do you know what that's going to do to Carson Wentz's psyche?
Okay,
well, I think that's part of his issue now. I think, look, You mentioned it. The reports that players in the locker room aren't feeling him. Some think he's too arrogant. He tries to do too much on his own, whereas Nick Foles just followed the playbook and threw it where it was supposed to be thrown and so on and so forth. They built a shrine to Nick Foles and all that. It's one thing to be criticized by the media. It's one thing to be criticized by your opponents. But when it's coming from within your own locker room and you don't know who's saying it, and you're sitting with guys smiling in your face and you're wondering, was this guy talking? Is he one that said, I'm not a leader, or you'd rather have Nick Foles or whatever it might be? And I think that's messing with Carson Wentz's head. Okay. And I think that's part of his demise as a quarterback there in Philadelphia, part of it.
Okay, well.
And so you bring in Nick Foles. Now I'm really second guessing myself.
Okay, so I'm not in a business as an owner of the psychological evaluation
of
where
being, my psyche,
right? Because I just paid you $134 million. I just paid you $134 million. Now, if I have an opportunity to bring back someone who's brought a championship to our team that's revered in the city and by the players, right? I'm not going to replace Carson Wentz because I can't.
I might be able to trade him somewhere.
But if I can get something for him.
So you would bring in Nick Foles and try to trade Carson Wentz?
You're on
national radio. I know what you're saying.
I know where I am.
All right.
I know where I am. But my whole thing is the proof is in the pudding, right? Now, Carson Wentz has a Super Bowl championship ring.
Nick Foles, yeah.
Carson Wentz has one.
Because of Nick Foles.
Because of Nick Foles. So does everybody else in that locker room, right? Now, even the second year when Carson Wentz went down, Nick Foles took him to the playoffs.
And he played better.
And played well. It wasn't his fault they lost that game.
Right.
All right? He put him in a position to continue. He almost made another run for it, right? So you know you have a rapport with him. You know, like you said, he runs the plays as their design. Carson Wentz takes more liberties and does other things. Now, we're in the business of winning games, right? Not appeasing. Right? Think about this. Not appeasing.
I feel you. It's not the CYO.
Right? Like, this is not what we're doing.
Woo.
So if you hit yourself to Carson Wentz and he doesn't progress beyond what he's now. So in 4 years and you're looking back, how do you evaluate yourself as a franchise?
You feel like you've seen enough, though. You already know because
I feel like what we're seeing out of Carson Wentz now is more him than the years prior.
Okay.
Right? Because you may not have those. Like, if you're watching him, number one, I've watched the Eagles and I've watched Carson Wentz. And as a former offensive lineman, I can tell you this. When you have a quarterback that refuses to take what is given to you, then you got issues. If you just watch the games and watch Carson Wentz go through his progression and pass up the easy checkdowns that the defense is allowing you to have for something that's not there, and then you see the pressure, the sacks, the turnovers, then now that's something different. That's not, the offensive line is ridiculous. Oh, he doesn't have any receivers
that's
to throw to.
That's bothering you as an offensive lineman.
It's bothering me as an offensive lineman. It's bothering me as a coach, because as we're watching this film together the next day, I'm saying, Carson, he's right there. He's in the flat. Trust me, turn on the games and watch. The easy throw is there. Get the 5-7 yards, all right? We don't have to go through the progressions and the protection breaks down. It's right there. I'm talking about at the snap of the ball. If the DB doesn't go with the running back, or the linebacker doesn't go with the running back, the running backs get the ball.
That's what Tom Brady does.
Russell Wilson does it. All the upper echelon quarterbacks do that.
So Wentz is, in your view, Wentz is done. I mean, like,
he's regressing.
Right.
Right. He's regressing.
And that's where I think the mental part is, this is wearing him. Because even when he's tried, we saw it 2 weeks ago, he tried to make some throws in the flats, you know, to run some running backs, and just overthrew him.
He couldn't do it.
That's where I think this guy mentally is gone. And if you bring in Nick Foles, but to your point, look, you're right. It's about winning. You just better know, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you bring in Nick Foles, you better know he's our guy. And it's hard to say that. I know he got you the Super Bowl. I know the Shrine is still there or can be rebuilt. But he's not very good anywhere else.
No, and he's proven that.
I mean, remember, that's hard.
That was his second stint in Philadelphia. He was ready to retire.
I blame St. Louis or the Rams on
Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher.
And you should, because that was terrible. Right. That was terrible. But we've seen him outside of that Philadelphia locker room, and it hasn't been exciting.